plate a potential nugget.
And I'd love to talk about the Transitions Project, Bruce, in a minute. But before that, of the various books you've written, I wanted to sort of pick up on one of the things that you talk about in your earlier books, in the book Secrets of Happy Families. You sort of compare families and what they do, and you say that families could learn from the agile development process. And I was truly intrigued by you connecting the dots between, you know, what we can do at a family level with agile that one talks about in the Silicon Valley context. Could you talk a little bit about that piece of insight?
Sure. So what happened was I'm the father of identical daughters, and we were raising our daughters. They were born in 2005, and you know, when you have twins, kind of life's coming at you from all different areas. And we sort of got through that initial phase where we were playing what I call defense, and we were ready to start playing offense, right? You know, human beings have something that no other species, really only one or two other species of the thousands of animal species on the planet, we have something that no other species has, which is that everybody else, when you stop weaning a young member of the species, that the young member of the species can reproduce on its own. Humans don't have that. We have this decade, if you will, between what I think of as potty training and the prom, right? The first step to the first kiss. And that's a decade during which we learn to be social, to interact, to connect with others. That's where we essentially learn the values of what it means to be part of the family and to be kind of a good citizen and a good kind of member of society. And so I was interested in how you do that. And essentially at this point we were 100 years after Freud. And every parent that I knew was sort of confused because circumstances have evolved, right? The way we were raised by our parents was sort of different. And so yet there was all this wisdom out there, whether it's negotiation studies, which was invented at Harvard, as you know, in the 1970s, of how you solve problems, or teamwork, of how you work on a sports team, or how I went to talk to Warren Buffett's financial advisor on how to manage money with children. And sort of one idea that kept coming up over and over again was this idea of I'll pronounce it the way that we do here in the United States, of agile, of the, you know, agile grew up in the 80s. It was a kind of a backlash to an idea that everything was top down. Right, that managers would issue orders to executives would issue to managers, and managers to team members, and then it would go to those building it. And this began in software development, and it came back that 93% of the projects were late and irrelevant, and life had moved on so quickly during the interim where they were trying to solve these problems. So Agile, which essentially began in Japan, and then a group of people in the United States put it together, and I interviewed some of the founders of this, was like, let's be more adaptable. Like, let's talk every day. Let's have a meeting once a week, and let's have big information radiators, like billboards, kind of whiteboards of everybody knows what everybody else is doing. And what happened inevitably is this took over. You said Silicon Valley, and then it went to GE and TED does it, which is one of the reasons I gave a TED talk on this topic, which anybody can find on the TED website now. People began to realize that being more adaptable, getting ideas from the bottom up, not just the top down. And so what happened was it began to migrating into families as, you know, in the West, as you know, we have many more women involved in the workplace, 3/4 of women. We have dads much more involved in parenting. And so I went to see all these kind of families working with agile development. And it just powerfully changed our family. And as I've introduced it to the world, it's been adopted much more widely. And sort of the ideas like, you know, basic checklists in the morning so that the parents are not, you know, what are the two most difficult times in every family? The hour after everybody wakes up and the hour before everybody goes to bed. And so the idea was like, give the kids more power. Like, this is your checklist. This is what you're expected to do. We still have in my family, we've been doing it for more than a decade now. We just had one yesterday, a weekly family meeting, where we ask three questions directly taken from Agile. What went well in our family this week? What didn't go well? And which problem will we agree to work on in the week ahead? And you have this safe space where children and parents, everybody can put ideas on and work on them. And you can say, we'll try this and we'll try that. And a week later, if it's not working, you can adapt. Because families are changing all the time. And I think what's powerful about the Agile idea is adaptability. And the idea that this week someone's got a presentation. Next week, you know, grandma may have a cataract surgery. The week after, somebody has a ballet recital. The week after, somebody has a big sporting event. Like, lives are changing all the time. And so it's a structure in which it's a safe space to manage that change and make sure everybody's communicating with one another.
Wow. And when do you have that conversation? Is it on the dinner table or do you create a separate time?
Oh, no. It's not on the, now you're getting like the person about me that's spent many years thinking of religion and sacred space. So no, it's not at the dinner table. In fact, nothing can be at the table. And when someone brings it, dad's the one that says no. So we in fact do a little ritual where we have a kind of, we play a little game called Ma, 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 where everybody mimics one another. And we sort of enter what amounts to kind of sacred space where this is it's like other. It actually happens to be at the table where we will eat dinner an hour and a half later, but it's for this moment transformed into a place where everybody gets to be heard, conflicts get resolved. Remember that thing that everybody was yelling and screaming about on Tuesday? This is where we're going to bring it up and settle it and try not to do it again. So it's very ritualized. We make some, we do a little tap, tap, tap on the table. We do a ma, ma, ma. It's very ritualistic. If someone doesn't want to ask the words in the way I want the words asked, we do it again. And then we leave and everybody goes back to our chaotic lifestyle. And it's not like we're perfect, but it is a mechanism, in fact, for handling imperfection.
The last year has been a blessing in a way, because given COVID, I've had the opportunity to have every meal at home for a period of 10 plus months. It's given us a great opportunity for us to connect as a family and have a conversation around what's top of mind for us. Clearly, we're not as ritualistic as Bruce suggests, but having a space with no devices and no distractions does make for interesting conversations, something that I didn't quite appreciate as we were going about our respective busy lives.